Welcome to the intersection of personal and professional development. This is Audio Motivation. Hi, everybody. This is Andy O'Brien for Audio Motivation, and I'm really excited to have this person on today because we go back a long way. He's one of the people we originally had on the original Audio Motivation. He's trained more than a million people in playing and winning the new game. Mitch Axelrod, he's reached millions of people through radio and TV, teleconferences, webcasts, audio, video training, and CDs. He's written hundreds of articles, newsletters, dozens of training programs used by more than a million people from 35 countries. He consults with Fortune 500 corporations, small businesses, and individuals on how to boost income, increase sales and profits, and derive more fun, fulfillment, and satisfaction from work. And Mitch Axelrod, it's great to have you back here at Audio Motivation after all these years. Welcome.
Thank you, Andy. And it seems like yesterday.
Yeah, it is. It's been a wild ride, and it's nice to have you back. So what I'm really wanting to focus on here is personal development in kind of a business perspective. So and by that, I mean, like, there is a lot of crossover between people's own kind of levels of personal growth, the roadblocks they might set up for themselves as they're trying to pursue their entrepreneurial goals, and having to overcome obstacles that really are of their own doing. And I know that, you know, you've spoken to this issue for a long time, and you've probably worked with people who have their own sets of roadblocks. So I'm just wondering, what are some of the, you know, kind of some of your greatest hits of things that you've been able to share with people to kind of help get them out of those ruts and those self-imposed limitations?
Well, that's a great question. You know, there's no magic wand to wave. What I would say first and foremost is the greatest knowing you can have is to know yourself. The world, as I've experienced it, I'm coming up now on 39 years. I'll be celebrating my 39th year in business. I coined the phrase 25 years ago, psychologically unemployable, because that's really kind of what I've been. I've not had a job since the day I walked out of college. And so the first thing I would say is you can know everything outside of you, all the tricks of the trade, all the nuances and everything. But if you don't know yourself, you're never really going to be fulfilled and fulfill your potential. So the first thing I would say is know yourself. Know what you are good at, know where your blind spots are. One of the things that I talk about is I actually have an entire video on this called "Are You a Jockey or a Horse?"
Oh, I like
that. That's a powerful distinction, especially in a world where just about everybody is telling you to be a quote entrepreneur. But the reality is that not everybody is cut out to be self-employed. So you really need to know yourself. So I'm going to make a very quick distinction between a jockey and a horse, and then share the four kinds of horsemen. The jockey is somebody who rides the horse into the money. That would be somebody who works for someone, who brokers or agent or salesperson, distributor. So in other words, you're not the horse, you're not the product creator or manufacturer, but you ride that horse or product or service into the money. That's a jockey. And a lot of people are really suitable to be a jockey. Maybe you're a chemist. Maybe you're somebody who writes, and you find it much better to be inside an organization where you can just focus on the skill that you love to do most and do it as often as you can. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not a fan of how people sort of degrade the job, J-O-B, as just over broke. That to me is nonsense. There are millions and millions of people who have done very well working inside an organization, using their talent and skill, and build up great net worth and wealth doing that. However, if you determine that you are a horse, and a horse is essentially someone who is self-employed, creates a product or service, manufactures a product or service, then I suggest you look at what I call the four horsemen and determine which of these are you really naturally more have an affinity towards. So the first is an entrepreneur. And I define an entrepreneur differently than everybody else. Everybody else talks about everybody's an entrepreneur. My definition of an entrepreneur is somebody who essentially starts businesses, either flips them, uses them for a couple of years, sells them. But an entrepreneur, you know, we heard the term serial entrepreneur, is somebody who's always starting up new ventures. Okay. If that's you, you have to be willing to accept about a 1 out of 10 success rate or 1 out of 5 success rate. And if you can do that, then you're really truly an entrepreneur. The second horseman is what I call a business owner. And a business owner, unlike an entrepreneur, starts one business, builds it narrow and deep, focuses 100% on that business, and builds it for the long haul. So an accountant who sets up an accounting firm, an attorney, and maybe a massage therapist, somebody who actually builds a business narrow and deep, and owns and operates the business, all right? And every entrepreneur who starts a business needs a business owner to run the business because they get bored after a while and they want to do something else, right? Okay? The third horseman is what I call a practitioner. I've shared the platform with Michael Gerber a couple of times. Michael Gerber would call this the technician. I call it a practitioner because the truth is a lot of us, myself included, are practitioners. And I like being a practitioner. It's what I enjoy most. This is what I enjoy most, the practice of the art of my work, the craft of my work. And so the practitioner usually builds a practice like a psychologist or a massage therapist or a holistic healer. Even lawyers and professionals can have a practice, all right? Nothing wrong with that. You can do very, very well and do what you love to do. The fourth horseman, and I say horsemen, horsewomen, of course, inclusive, is the free agent. And the free agent basically will do anything not to have to work for the man, do any kind of project work, job work. So the free agent basically says, I'll do whatever it takes as long as I don't have to work 9 to 5 or essentially be employed by somebody. So there you have four different kinds of personalities: entrepreneur, business owner, practitioner, and free agent. Which one of those are you more naturally sort of attracted to? Which one of those do you do better? And try to do your best to block out all of the jabber in the outside world and all the chatter that says you must do this or you should do that, and find that sweet spot. If you're a jockey, be comfortable being a jockey. Find yourself a horse to ride and ride it for all it's worth. If you're a horse, pick one of those four and then surround yourself with the other people who will support you being a true horseman. So that's the first thing, is know yourself. And if you know yourself, everything else is out there for you. But if you don't know yourself, you're going to be pushing up against the wall all the time because you'll have all the external skills, but you really won't have that one thing you need most, which is mastery of self.
Okay. And that's an excellent response. And thank you. Because it really raises another question here, because I've come up against some issues recently and have seen some different philosophies that conflict with each other along the same path. One is that if something is difficult with your business, you should just see that as a sign and just drop it, bail, quit, and you know, be free yourself from that, from those challenges. And the other school of thought is, if something is difficult, you just need to deal with it, push through, and make the most out of it, because you know this is your calling, you know. So how do you make that distinction? How do you know if you come up against a challenge, whether it's meant to not be or meant to be, that you just have to work through it? You know what I mean? It just seems like that's kind of a conflicting philosophy there.
Yeah. Well, I think that clarity and discernment are two overlooked but vitally important elements to be able to discern between what a challenge is, which is a natural roadblock, if you will, in the pursuit of something. We all have challenges. So rise above your challenges, go forth, you know, continue on, push on. That kind of advice would be appropriate when your discernment or your clarity says, this is simply a step that I have to face, and we all face them, that is very different than an internal feeling that you're off course. So about 2 years ago, I got the really tremendous honor of speaking at Harvard University. And I spoke not about the new game of business or the new game of selling, which has been my brand for the past 25 years, but I spoke about a new topic I'm talking a lot about called the soul, role, goal of leadership. And the key here is that we've been conditioned from very early on that everything is about goal. You set your goal first, and then your role is to do whatever it takes to get your goal. And when you have some sort of a challenge or conflict between your role and your goal, the advice that I've heard way too often is, well, you just do whatever it takes to get your goal, because it's like goal is God. And what's the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people? I heard one of my mentors once say, successful people will do what unsuccessful people won't do. I never bought into that philosophy, because you have an internal compass, true north. And when your internal compass says that you're moving in the wrong direction, or that there's something out of whack, or there's a conflict between your role and your goal, the sage advice that you're taking from the outside would say, well, just suck it up. You know, that's what everybody does, and just keep going. Even if you feel miserable, even if you're feeling as though you don't like your work. But there's a third dimension here, because we're three-dimensional human beings. And that third dimension is soul. And so 20-something years ago, I had to make a decision, because I had a conflict between my goal and my soul. My goal, I was on the road 100 days a year as a speaker for like 7-8 years. And my goal was to continue to be in my career and just continue to excel. And I was at the top of my game and sharing the platform with every major speaker, you know, making really good money. But my wife and I divorced, and we both agreed that it would be best for our son for me to be home raising him, because I had been home since the time he was born. I work out of the house. So my soul was calling me home, but my goal was saying, stay on the road. And in between was my role. And my role had a huge conflict. So what do I do? Do I obey my goal and say, okay, I'm just going to stay on the road and forget about what my soul is telling me? Or do I serve my soul and go home? So what I realized, quite a few things, first and foremost, is that our entire success model is upside down. Everything is based on goal. Then the role is to do whatever it takes to get the goal. And if you have any time left over, maybe you'll pay attention and nurture or listen to your soul. But I said, you know what? I'm going to reverse that. I need to do my soul setting first, then my role setting, and then come back and do my goal setting. What I discovered and have now shared with tens of thousands of people, and it's probably going to be a big chunk of my next new game, if you will, is that when you do your soul setting and role setting, and then you do your goal setting, you have a much better chance of being congruent, aligned, and happy and fulfilled, because your goal, your role, and your soul are sort of working in harmony. No different than mind, body, and spirit. But if your body's out of whack, or your mind is all messed up, or you're not listening to the spirit, the soul, the voice that only you can hear. And that's the biggest challenge I see that we all face. There's so much noise in the world telling us what we should do, ought to do, have to do, got to do, supposed to do, that we don't actually take enough time to go into quiet and listen to what our soul, our intuition is saying to us. So what I did is I said, all right, I'm going to resolve this conflict. And I'm not going to obey my goal. I'm going to see if my goal, my role, and my soul are aligned. If they're not, then I'm going to suspend my goal for the time being. And then I'm going to do some more soul setting and role setting. And if necessary, I'll amend, revise, or change my goal. And that's what I did. And I spent the next 10 years essentially raising my son. I fulfilled my soul. My role was now full-time father and business owner, but my goals now changed and adapted. So yes, I didn't make as much money. I didn't get as much recognition. But you know what? I have something that's irreplaceable. I have a bond with my son now that is for life. And I sense that a lot of people today I observe and I talk to and I speak to are in this soul role goal conflict. So I say, you know, keep it simple. Do your soul setting, do your role setting, and then do your goal setting. And if those three things line up, then you know you're kind of on the right path. When there's discord or disconnect or interference or conflict, instead of just saying, suck it up, Andy, because, you know, successful people do what unsuccessful people won't do, don't listen to that. Listen to your intuition and then be guided by that.
Oh, man, that's awesome, Mitch. So you're hopefully going to expound on the soul role goal concept in the future, right? I mean, you mentioned that's going to be your next game, or?
Well, it's actually been my game for 20 years, but I haven't formally sort of put it out there. And I guess when I got asked to speak at Harvard about this, the executive leadership conference director said to me, Mitch, you are the first non-PhD, non-Harvard person we've ever had speak here. And the reason I want you to do that is because everybody has goals and everybody's doing roles, but very few people, nobody's ever talked about how to start with your soul setting and then do your role setting, goal setting. And these healthcare workers were totally blown away. These are leaders from 10 different countries. In fact, one of the countries, the country of Bermuda, had me talk to them about actually installing the soul role goal model as part of their healthcare initiative. So an entire country now is reforming their healthcare based on the idea that we just don't want to have a goal of good healthcare. There's got to be a soul to our healthcare, and we've got to be clear about what the role of our healthcare is in terms of how we want to accomplish our goals. So I'm speaking more and more about it now, not just in leadership, but in business and money and life. It affects every aspect of our lives.
Yeah, and most people aren't doing that because they're putting the cart before the horse. They're not even thinking about the soul aspect of things, right?
Or, you know, there's a lot of different definitions of soul and spirit. And I'm not talking about the ethereal woo-woo stuff. I'm talking about every single day of your life, of my life, we have a three-dimensional experience. The question is, how much of your soul and your role do you want to bring to your goal? You've met people who are so goal-driven that you don't even feel like they have a soul behind it. It's all about getting and going. And then you meet people who are just so centered that you'll go with them anywhere. It doesn't matter what the goal is because you feel aligned with their soul. You feel resonance with their role and what it is that they do. And wherever they're going, whatever the goal is, you say, I'm in, you know? And especially in business, I've been around this game a long time. And I would tell you that the key to long-term success is not just to keep getting your own goals or even helping your clients get their goals. That's important, of course. Yet what I find is that the longevity and the retention of relationships is really sourced more in soul and role. Because if you buy into that, people buy from people who they like, trust, respect, resonate with, and now today, they even support their mission, their vision, their cause, and such. We're talking about a whole different marketplace than existed even 10 years ago, where people were buying based on transactions. You know, you get the best terms, I want the best deal, and that was it. Business is personal. When I wrote The New Game of Business in 2003, I chronicled 10 distinctions that were transforming the game from the inside out. And the very first one of them is, it's not just business, it's personal. So yeah, everything I talk about now is infused with the context of soul, role, and goal.
Man. Okay, Mitch. So people are going to want, they're going to listen to this and they're going to be wanting more from you. So where can they go? I know you have MitchAxelrod.com, and that's and you've got the link to The New Game of Selling, which was a number one bestseller for 3 months in 2013, but it's been around a long time. So where can they go to get that book, which I guess they can just go to your website, right?
Yeah, well, the book The New Game is Selling is fantastic. I took 75,000 hours of my experience and I boiled it down into basically like 60 pages hard print or about 100 pages on Kindle. And that book will change your life. It won't just change your business. It'll change your life. It'll change the way you communicate with your family, your friends. And so you can get the book on Amazon. The New Game of Selling, we also have a membership area, and you also can get a whole bunch of our recordings. And as far as the Soul Role Goal, if you just go to soulrolegoal.com, and that's R-O-L-E spelled, S-O-U-L-R-O-L-E-G-O-A-L, soulrolegoal.com, I tell the story there, and there's an offer. But there's also a secret, which I don't give out much, but I'm going to give it to you. It's actually a PowerPoint presentation version, generic, of what I presented at Harvard in three parts. And so if you go to soulrolegoal.com/leadership, you can actually watch the PowerPoint presentation voiceover, the three-part presentation I did at Harvard. And it will absolutely rock your world. People have said after watching this, I'll never be the same. It just really takes you to a whole new place of understanding yourself and what matters to you. So that's those are some of the web pages people can go to.
I'm going to go there myself as soon as I hang up here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So now this interview, Mitch, is for the podcast, and in the future, in the very near future, we're going to go deeper, and that's for our members. And so I'm looking forward to reconnecting with you for that part of our membership site. But in the meantime, Mitch, thank you so much. You're so generous with your wisdom, and I really appreciate it. And thanks for being a friend to me all these years. Appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you, Andy, and I'm thrilled that I was able to help you get this thing off the ground originally. And I'm even more thrilled to see it coming back around again, because obviously the timing is right. And I would just leave people with this. What I discovered over the years, and this is a very powerful mantra for me, there's no goal big enough that can fill a hole in your soul. And I see outside in the world today, people who are suffering, they're feeling out of alignment with themselves, they're feeling as if they're compromising themselves, or maybe they're feeling like they're not being themselves. And, you know, what good is it to have all these things in the world, but if you don't feel like you're being the real you? So when you kind of get stuck, recognize that there is no goal big enough to fill a hole in your soul. And rather than trying to set bigger, more hairy, audacious goals, maybe you want to step back and say, let me get quiet and listen to that little, still, quiet voice that only I can hear. Nobody else can hear that voice, and begin to trust it, because that intuition that speaks to you, that doesn't speak to anybody else, is really the true voice. That's the pipeline to that infinite, so to speak. And so I'll give you a sentence that I did on a TV interview, and I'll close with this because it's so powerful. What I realize is that you can change a business, however large or small, with one sentence. And the sentence is this: when given the choice between obeying your own rules, policies, and procedures, or loving and serving the customer, love and serve the customer. Very simple. Even if it means violating your protocols or policies or procedures, because the customer doesn't care. In fact, the rules, the policies, and procedures that we put in place, if they're not loving and serving the customer, they're actually an impediment to the customer's experience, right? So that's my simple mantra for business. Now, take that same mantra and apply it to yourself. When given the choice to follow your own beliefs, your own rules, your own expectations, your own perfectionism, or love and serve yourself, love and serve yourself. Even if it means you give up your beliefs, you alter your expectations, because beliefs and expectations and all these concepts are important, but they're not as important and they're not as valuable as loving and serving yourself. And so that's become my litmus test, personally and professionally. And you know, I like simple things. I like to make everything simple. So when given that choice between obeying the rules, policies, and procedures, or loving and serving the customer or yourself, just simply love and serve the customer and yourself, and you'll never go wrong.
Oh, Mitch, that is just phenomenal. Thank you so much. And I don't even know what to say after that. That's just beautiful. So MitchAxelrod.com, SoulRollGoal.com. Mitch, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Andy. Anytime.
Thanks for listening to Audio Motivation. Join us in our membership community for even more in-depth interviews, transcripts, and bonus gifts, all designed to keep you motivated and inspired.